With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's bring in, first time this year, friend of the program, Len Elmore. Lenny, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. Since it's the first time, man, Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you. And let's do Happy Halloween, Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and everything else we missed over the last few months since the end of the season last year in March. And you were on the call this past Saturday, Maryland at Minnesota. Third road win over a ranked team. Held Minnesota to below 50 points. And usually when Maryland pulls an upset, they shoot the ball very well from the field. But that wasn't the case against the Gophers. The case, Len, was you were there, the defense. And after that Michigan debacle last week, where their defense, quite frankly, was offensive, how stunned were you that Maryland brought it to the level they did from the defensive aspect?
I wasn't stunned. You know, you're a bit surprised considering, you know, they used the same strategy to try to take Dickinson out of the game against Michigan, which they did, but a step too slow in rotation allowed Michigan wide open shots, and they drained them the first five threes, which gave them a lot of confidence and put Maryland at a deficit from which they couldn't recover. You know, against Minnesota, same defense, except they were quicker to the ball, quicker to the rotation. Covered the shooters. Minnesota doesn't quite have the kind of offense Michigan has. And so it worked there. It took Robbins out of the game, and they were able to, you know, limit the opportunities, the open opportunities that Minnesota could get. So it was just an improvement on that defense. And then offensively, you know, with the five out kind of offense playing Dante Scott at the five actually was a nice piece of strategy, because you're bringing that big guy outside, and you saw them often enough take Robbins off the dribble, really neutralize them.
Is that a strategy, and I was going to ask you that, the five out, that could work again against Wisconsin? It did. They did have success against the Badgers in that first matchup back in December, but can they duplicate that sort of success? Because the Badgers can kind of get you in the paint when they're clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, I mean, look, Wisconsin has two pretty good big guys, and, you know, Potter particularly is strong down on the block. He's the kind of guy you want to try to limit, try to take the ball out of his hands. Because, you know, if one-on-one against Maryland's bigs, he's not really he's no match. He's definitely dominant. And then Reavers is more of an outside shooter. So, you know, they might have to make some adjustments there. But I think they can do the same thing in making Potter come out and play people. The idea is to spread the floor on the Maryland offensive side and get opportunities for wide open shots. Maybe guys like Ayala, Wiggins off the bounce can create some pressure on the Wisconsin defense and then kick it to some shooters. They're definitely going to have to shoot the ball well, no question.
Hey, Len, how difficult is it for these kids, you know, to be playing and then, you know, have to be gone for a week and then come back and play? You know, how hard is it to stop, get going again, start, get going again, you know, to get some, you know, momentum going and, you know, like showing, developing throughout the season?
Well, there's no question about it. I've never experienced that as a player. And quite honestly, I don't see how they're able to do it. I mean, obviously practice time is extremely important and actually replicating game speed and having effort from the guys out there on the floor that you're playing against, the guys who have the primary minutes, you know, they need to work at game speed. So you got to give credit your hope to the guys who are sitting on the bench that have to come in and you know, imitate the opponents to really test the team and keep them sharp. Mentally, it's got to be tough. That's why you see so many situations. I mean, we know there's no home court advantage anymore because there's no crowd. It doesn't influence, it doesn't energize the home team. It doesn't influence the officials. But, you know, to get guys to be able to play at game speed and then replicate that when the games come, if you're only doing it sporadically, that's really hard.
Len Elmore joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking college hoops here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. To Vinny's point about the breaks and the unique situation, to use a kind word, I guess, during a global pandemic, will that come into account? Michigan State's had the big break. Villanova had the break. Maryland's had games postponed. When the selection committee is doing their due diligence, yeah, you have to stack wins and have to get some quality ones at that, but how much will that be taken into account when it comes to picking the 68 teams?
I think some of it will. Obviously, you know, you look at a Michigan, they're going to take 2 weeks off, and there may be some games that they can't make up. But kind of unlike football, there's a big enough body of work and, you know, an objective criteria using the net evaluation tool and you know, the team value index. You know, there's some objectives that you can utilize to make it fair. You know, in football, it was almost like, you know, spinning the wheel and also taking a look at, okay, you know, who is going to maximize our revenue if we put them in there. You know, there's a lot of arguments to be made in football, but unlike football, basketball has enough objective criteria and a big enough body of work where teams can be judged relatively fairly.
Hey, Len, what do you think's the problem like at this year at Kentucky, Duke? Is it just bad recruiting, or what do you think?
I think young players, and we just mentioned it previously, Vinny, you mentioned it about you know, the nature of having to play in chunks and missing games and, you know, playing in a pandemic, no crowds or anything. They're young teams. You know, they've got a lot of young guys that they rely on, and they've never had the experience of college basketball, let alone playing in this kind of environment. I think that's one of them. The other thing is hype. There's just so much hype out there about young guys coming in without really understanding their games and understanding what they're going to look like against more seasoned players. And it's obviously showing with Kentucky, even with Duke.
Len, before we let you roll, Len Elmore joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. You look at Gonzaga and Baylor at the top of the rankings right now, both undefeated. Based on what you have seen, the info you've gathered in your eye test, I mean, is there a separation, those two and the rest? Or, I mean, we've seen Michigan twice against Maryland, looking very good both times, taking out the Terps. So where's their main level of the challenge going to come from once we get to March Madness?
I like I said, I've always believed that over the last several weeks in watching a lot of these teams play, Gonzaga and Baylor are kind of head and shoulders above everyone else. Now, look, a one-and-done situation, who knows? You come not playing your best game. If Baylor or Gonzaga comes not playing their best game and somebody rises to the occasion, they can get beaten. But, you know, on the basis of talent, on the basis of cohesiveness and consistency, I mean, there are no two better teams than those two.
Len, quickly here, paying college athletes, and I know this is a big subject that we could talk about for many, many minutes and hours and days, quite frankly, but what's the end game going to be here, and how quickly are we going to get to some sort of resolution about college athletes who generate billions of dollars in TV revenue being compensated for their work that's put in? And will there be any kind of a retro pay? I would think the NCAA tournament, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson should get a stipend every year, because that 79 championship game kind of got this thing exploding into where it is now.
Let me answer the last question first. I don't think there are going to be any reparations for these guys. So, but as far as paying players, look, name, image, and likeness, that's long overdue, because that's a property right and should never have been abrogated without some kind of value given to young people. They exploited you know, the names, image, and likenesses of college athletes from far too long without compensation. That's coming. You know, how it comes, whether the NCAA or through state or federal legislation, we'll see. As far as paying players out of revenues, yeah, I know they generate, you know, billions of dollars for these schools, but I don't care what people are saying. There are a lot of benefits out there that can continue to be given to athletes, and even more that should be given to them, a better quality of education, better health care. There are so many things that these college athletes deserve, but to pay them just to play, I think, is a huge mistake. And quite honestly, what happens is people keep equating dollars for dollars. They keep forgetting about the concept of value. And education and all the things that go through what they're getting in college is of value. Nobody's telling them they have to sign to play college sports. They know what the deal is. But as I said, you know, in the balance of the equities, there are so many other things that they need to improve on to give the full experience and the value of experience. But if you take the idea that, you know, they're getting the money for the full education, they're getting room, board, books, tuition, as I said, health care, which can be better, so many other things, world-class tutelage in world-class facilities, you know, huge amount of marketing and exposure. If you put a dollar sign on that, if you quantify that stuff, they're getting extraordinary value, particularly in basketball and in football. You know, and that money that people keep screaming about where coaches are getting paid too much, I agree with that. There needs to be a cap, and then utilize the residual to work, again, to the benefit of the college athletes. But paying them creates a whole different set of problems. And quite honestly, I think that it ultimately winds up hurting the effort. And, you know, college basketball, college football, as we know it, will end.
He's Len Elmore, Maryland great, still all-time leading rebounder in the history of the program. When's the next time we're going to see you on the tube there, Len Elmore?
I'm doing a big 10 network game on Saturday, Minnesota at Purdue at 7:30.
Len, we appreciate the time as
Thanks,
always.
Len.
You and the family, stay well, be healthy, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.